In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again, may your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seed of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we will continue with our letters.
Yes. Letter number 112 to Federico Abresh, Fiat. Dearest son in the divine volition, your dear letter brought me joy. Thank you. Thank you. May the divine volition reward you by making you know its divine will, because its life grows in us as we get to know it. A good cannot be possessed if it is not known. And as we get to know it, our capacity is expanded. And this good takes its royal place within us. So its sanctity, its beauty, its love are increased in us, and it forms its little divine seeds within our soul. This is why all the effort of the enemy is to prevent the knowledge of the divine will from coming to light, because he would lose his kingdom on earth. The first thing that the divine will does when it is known is to transform us in good and to floor our passions. From weak, it makes us strong, and its power causes such a change within our soul, to the extent of making us feel the possession of our God. And so our will becomes a divine chamber. With it, everything will become easy. We will feel heaven within us. Our acts will be communicated to the saints and to the Queen of Heaven, who awaits with so much love that her children take part in her acts, in the divine seas which she possesses. We will feel bound and with right to the divine family, because their will is also ours. Most esteemed son, you could not give greater glory to God and greater good to creatures than by obtaining many children to living in his will. You must know that for everything we do to make it known, the divine will takes its place in us and does everything itself. We are nothing but concurrent, giving it the place in order to let it work and do whatever it wants. One can say that we give it the step to let it walk, the hands to let it work, the voice to let it speak. The news from Germany, although it is not what we hoped for, is still good. The time will come when it will triumph over all, and the blind will open their eyes to a good so great. I believe with certainty that good Jesus is pleased with what you do in order to increase the children of the divine will. Even more, you must know that in everything we do in order to make the divine will known, his love is so great that he himself does it within us. It is he who speaks, works, and pushes us. His contentment is so great that he himself does everything. Therefore, continue to call many children around the Father and the Celestial Mother. I leave you in the divine volition and sending you my regards from the heart, I say, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, May 26, 1942. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. This is a beautiful letter. as all of them, but this is very saturated, permeated with the teaching in a very concise way. Let me see, in 1942, it's 5 years before she dies, basically, at the end of her life. The divine will grows in us as we get to know it. This is true about the divine will and about the faith. One of the things that we have to always remember also that these writings have to be understood in the light also of the teachings of the church. And the church teaches us that those who live by faith, who walk by faith here, we already have a little taste of heaven. To live by faith is here on earth is to live a little bit in heaven. Because we believe, faith is to believe what we don't see. By faith, we believe in the sacraments and what our Lord teaches us through the church. We know that faith is one of the gifts that God gives us in the sacrament of baptism, and He gives basically Himself to us through the sacraments. So we know that faith is God, hope is God, and love is God. So God gives Himself to us in the sacrament of baptism because we will need these gifts to grow in the knowledge and understanding of who He is also. So as we get to know more about God, our faith grows, our hope that one day we will possess Him, that He will possess us completely, and we will love Him with one single will, because this is what the saints do in heaven. They possess God according to their capacity that they acquire here. Our capacity, Luisa Picaretta says, as we get to know God, our capacity is expanded, right? And this good takes its royal place. She's talking about the divine will, but we can talk about this in relation with our faith with God. So as we come to know more about God through faith, also our capacity is expanded. So one day, we will be able to possess Him. And according to our capacity, how much we develop our capacity here, that will be our eternal glory, the proportion that we will be able to possess. So faith is needed. As soon as the soul encounters God in what the church calls the personal judgment, immediately St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that this gift of faith comes out of the soul immediately, like a little sparkle of light, and it burns away into God because you don't need faith anymore. You are seeing what you were hoping for. And then hope comes out again also, and it burns, and it burns itself or loses itself into God because you don't need hope anymore. You are seeing there the possession of what you were waiting for. If you are ready to enter into heaven, then The only thing that you need is love to forever. So the gift of love comes out and unites the soul with God, attaches the soul to God when the soul is ready. And that soul will enjoy God according to that capacity, but that capacity is acquired here. So the more we know about the divine will, the more we get to know that grows in us. We already know that, right? We already know that through our studies. We already know that every single act in the divine will, in union with the divine will, expands the soul, is a new sun, more beautiful than the others, and it multiplies all the time. As we renew our acts in the divine will, as we become aware, as we develop this constant awareness of the presence of the divine will operating in our heart and our soul, willingly calling the divine will with that knowledge now that we have that is expanding in us. So it's expanding our capacity to receive one day. To receive God, and since God is infinite, the soul will never be able to totally possess or to be tired of God. So that's the royal place of the gift of the divine will in us, and it begins in baptism. So now, through the knowledge of the divine will, through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, we know that it is important to study, to get to know more. Yes, as we know more about God and we grow in love for Him, our soul grows in the desire. So just look at the saints, how they desire that union with God, how they empty themselves and they grew in that knowledge of God and they desire God. And some of them, they got so close that our Lord bestowed upon them his wounds. He left the physical mark in some of them. Again, Luisa Picarreta is one of them. She received the stigmata invisible because she didn't want to draw any attention to herself. Padre Pio, Saint Francis of Assisi, Saint Rita, and many others. But because their soul really longed for God. And in the knowledge of this gift, that's what happens in the soul. We get to know more and more. We get to love it. The more we read, the more we dedicate time for this gift, it grows in us as we get to know it. So basically, what we are doing here is expanding our souls. And we know the soul has power, so the capacity, the intellect is expanding. The knowledge, our understanding is growing also. So attaching our soul little by little, step by step, to God more and more. So the divine will, the first thing that it does, Luisa Picarreta tells us, is that it transforms us. And it gets rid of the passions, right? A little by little, it makes us strong. This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us His strength. That's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we receive also in confirmation, God giving Himself to us. So it makes us strong. So in a way, we all belong to the army of the Holy Spirit because we are the militant church. And that happens in Baptist, I mean, in confirmation that we are endowed with those seven gifts to fight the good fight of faith, because we need those. And the more, again, the more we get to know those gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us, the more they grow in us also. The more we get to know the Holy Spirit, the more the Holy Spirit is able to transform us. And it's important for us, in a special way, to have devotion to the Holy Spirit, because this is the work of the Holy Spirit. The whole plan of salvation, the church calls it the economy of salvation, but so that we may understand it better, let us call it the plan of salvation that God has for us, is the plan of the Blessed Trinity. But each one of the persons of the Blessed Trinity has taken a role. And this is the time of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus entrusted us to the Holy Spirit. He entrusted his church by sending the Holy Spirit in Pentecost. He entrusted his church, his teachings, his message, and all of us to the Holy Spirit. So he is with us through the Holy Spirit. That's why this work of the writings of the servant of God, Bishop Picarreta, the Holy Spirit is the one who is carrying this work in us. That's why we have to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We have to recognize the Holy Spirit. And it's important to pray to the Holy Spirit to give us light, to give us wisdom, to give us understanding, to enlighten our intellect, our soul, so that we may be able to grow in this gift. And what the Holy Spirit is going to do in us through this gift is to expand our capacity and to prepare us to be able to receive as much as God wants to give us, all the sanctity, all the beauty, all the love, everything that the Blessed Trinity is. So, not to recognize the Holy Spirit in this process will be like to ignore him, to ignore God. It will happen like it happened to the people when our Lord Jesus came, that he was there and they didn't recognize him. So remember, this is the time that we are waiting for the fulfillment of our fathers. The promise of our Lord Jesus about the Holy Spirit is being fulfilled in the universal church, and is being fulfilled in us, in each one of us, as we get baptized, as we get confirmed, as we go to confession, and he crowns us and crowns us and crowns us with his grace over and over and over and over. And now what we are waiting before the last coming is the fulfillment of our Father, and now it is happening in each one of us. It is being fulfilled in your hearing, as the Lord will say, because now the more we dispose ourselves, the more we come to know how to enter in union with the divine will, how to unite ourselves with the divine will, a little bit that we get to know more and more, all the knowledge that we receive as we get to know the divine will, it grows in us, preparing us for the final day that we shall enter into the Blessed Trinity, because that's our final destination, actually. And this is what the gift of the divine will is preparing us also. And it's in the teaching of the church. This is what the church teaches us, and it goes very well with what the gift is. We know very well that this gift that the Lord is bestowing upon us through the writings, it already existed. It was given to Adam and Eve at the beginning. So God didn't change his mind. He only found a way to give us, to reverse what the enemy caused to what the enemy caused to cause Adam and Eve to lose the gift, right? So just as this gift was given at the beginning, he still wants to give us this gift. So this is the whole plan of the whole economy of salvation. Everything points towards the recovery of the gift that was lost by the fall of Adam and Eve. And by giving us this gift again, God will defeat the enemy. So through a woman it was lost. Now through a woman is being recovered through her jest. And now the new Adam, which is actually the first Adam, we have recovered this gift, and now it is up to us. So in the Catechism of the Catholic Church 260, 260, this is what the church teaches us. The church is telling us what is our final end, what should be our goal of every single soul. It says the ultimate end of the whole divine economy is the entry of God's creatures, that's us, into the perfect unity of the Blessed Trinity. That's what the church teaches us, and is based on John 17, 21 and 23. So we know that this is what we are destined to enter into, the perfect unity of the Blessed Trinity, perfect unity. And it begins in baptism. And now through this gift of the divine will, through the knowledge and understanding of this gift, we advance into that union, so that our Father is being fulfilled in each one of us. He's here. So we can say now, as our Lord Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is here, is at hand, is in us, is in these writings, is waiting for us to receive it. The prayer of the church is being answered, is being fulfilled in our time, is the prayer of our Lord Jesus. So now that we know that we become basically our soul, basically is the chamber of the divine will, is the chamber of God, is the living tabernacle, is the living host, in whatever way you want to see it, to see it. Because this gift really makes us possess God. Not only 15 minutes, as it happens when we receive communion, not only that, but it's an extension of the Mass, because our Lord wants to remain with us, and He doesn't want to remain in the element of the host that doesn't palpitate. He wants to be in each one of us because He wants our heartbeat, our blinking of the eye, our step, our voice, our hearing. He wants to walk in us. He wants our humanity, basically. So He wants us to give ourselves to Him. Remember the Catechism in 358 also, they says that every creation was done for us. We were created to love God, to serve Him, and it says, and to offer all creation back to Him, right? All creation back to Him. We are creatures, we are part of that creation. So that means that we have to offer also ourselves back to Him. And this is what we do during the sacrifice of the Mass. As the priest elevates the body, blood, soul, and divinity in the host of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the church is offering the sacrifice of Christ again, once more, over and over to the Father, that's the moment for us to unite ourselves to the holy sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, to His will, and we become a living sacrifice. Each one of us become a living oblation. So everything that is in our heart, in our soul, pain, sorrow, suffering, joy, everything is being offered to God, but most importantly, our human will in union with our Lord Jesus. So we offer ourselves back to God. Why? Because we bear the image of God in our soul. One soul, three powers, will, intellect, and memory, representing the image of God, who is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, three divine persons, one soul, three powers. The will represents God the Father, the intellect, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, and the memory, the Holy Spirit. So that's why it is not lawful for us to give ourselves to the world, because we don't belong to the world. You may remember also the passage from Sacred Scripture when the Pharisees, they tried to test our Lord Jesus, and they asked him, "Is it lawful to pay taxes?" So he says, "Show me a coin. Whose image do you see?" And they answer, "Caesar's." Then he says, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God." So we bear the image of God, the Blessed Trinity, in our soul. So that's why we have to give ourselves to God. We have to offer all creation, and that includes us, back to God. So the divine will working in us, operating in us, also communicates everything to the saints. It puts us in communion with the saints. We go back to our passage that we are called to remember, to recall, and to offer everything that the saints have done, that the Blessed Mother have done. So this is what the gift does in us. It puts us in an instant communication with heaven, basically. And when we call and remember and offer that, then it stirs all that joy that I already have, and that is being increased. The Blessed Trinity uses those acts to give glory to itself, right? God gives those acts to give glory to himself, and the three divine persons, they receive much glory. The saints, they also receive much. They see themselves being fulfilled, their purpose for which they were created is being fulfilled, basically. And those who lived before, now they feel everything is being crowned. So basically, we redirect or repurpose their acts, and basically that's what it means to redo their acts. We just crown their acts, or God does it through us. So we are invited to be the children of the divine will. So I wanna put a question in your mind. You don't have to answer it, but I want you to start thinking, what does it mean to be a little daughter, a little son of the divine will? What does it really mean? And I want to ask you to put that in your mind and your heart, that you may have that desire in your heart to be a little daughter of the divine will. Each one of you, each one of us, to be a little daughter, a little son of the divine will. So, do you have that in your heart? Do you have really that desire in your heart to be a little daughter of the divine will, to be a little son of the divine will? So, what does it mean, and what that it entails, and what will it take to be a little daughter of the divine will, to be a little son of the divine will, to be part of the celestial family, beginning here on earth? So think about that, pray about that, and ask the Lord to give you that desire. And in the future, we can talk about that, and I will explain to you, but I'm not gonna give you that answer now. I want you to have that desire in your heart. and to start praying to the Holy Spirit for that. Let's move on with the next letter.
Letter number 113 to Frederico Abresch from Bologna. Fiat in voluntate Dei. Most esteemed son of the divine will, thank you for all your attentions, especially for doing the petition to the Holy Father. Let us hope that our Lord will enlighten him. Your letter was of great consolation for me, especially the letter from Sister Maria Deo Gratias. Oh, how I wish that all would understand what it means to live in the divine will. It is the greatest miracle that Jesus can do for the creatures. It is the greatest glory he can receive. To live in it means to love with his own love, together with Jesus, to possess the creative and preserving power. He by nature, we by grace. We can say that we are inseparable from him. We will feel the life of good by right. One feels that passions, weakness, and all evils have no reason to exist before a will so holy. Jesus loves so much one who lives in the divine will that he prepares a chain of prodigies, each different from the other, and always new in sanctity, beauty, and love, such that he himself feels enraptured by the creature. His perennial occupation, one could say, is that he is unable to be without the soul who lives in his holy will. To live in it is to storm heaven, and all our acts, even the most tiny and natural ones, become messengers of peace between heaven and earth. Oh, if all would understand this, to live in it would become our predominant passion, and all evils would flee from us. I am sorry for good Amelia for her sufferings. But dear Jesus, in order to give us his likeness, creates pain by the touch of his paternal fingers and makes the most beautiful pearls, the most refulgent suns, the most expensive diamonds come out from it, and he gives us his most ardent kisses and the tightest hugs. Crosses are always his precious inheritance. Pray for me, and leaving you enclosed in the divine volition, Father, Mother, and Son, to make yourselves saints, I greet you with the love of the Fiat. Most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, July 1st, 1942. Amen, Fiat.
Thank you. Another letter to Federico Average. Right. I think one of the things we can do as we start also as we move on with our letters is just to call, to remember, and to offer all the acts of Federico Average, of Luisa Picarreta, of Sister Maria, and all the people that we see of Amelia, all their sufferings, their work, their acts to be done for the gift of divine will. I'm sure some of them already, I mean, they knew already, Luisa Picarreta for sure, but I don't know if they knew without clarity to offer it, right? To remember, to recall, to offer it for the gift of the divine will to descend. But we can do that. And asking Luisa Picarreta to intercede for all of us to continue gaining knowledge and understanding of this divine science, which indeed is the greatest miracle that the Lord can give to all of us, and the greatest gift, because with that we possess everything, really. And with that we possess everything and we lack nothing. It's almost like the fulfillment also, it fulfills everything. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall lack. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life. So once we understand this, we can take this in reference of the divine will, you know? The divine will is mine. It possesses me. I possess the divine will. And I lack nothing with the divine will in me. And to live with the divine will is really to have the life that our Lord Jesus have, to possess his life, as Luisa Picaretta tells us and is the teaching of the church, not by nature, but by grace or by participation. Why? Because we willingly choose to live in this way. That's why it's so important, because the more we get to know it, the more we love it, the more we desire it, and the more we desire it, the Lord will bestow it upon us. The sooner it will come to us, because every act will become like a magnet, calling, 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 calling the divine will. Notice where we are in the plan of salvation. We are not waiting for the Messiah. Notice that the Blessed Mother was praying for the Messiah. Notice that all of them, they were waiting for the Messiah. We are not waiting for the Messiah. Notice where we are in the plan of salvation. We are now in the fulfillment of the Our Father. We are after the resurrection. We are after Pentecost. We are in the fulfillment of the Our Father in us, in our time. So, how blessed we are to be able to live in this time and to be able to go back mentally and to offer all the acts of all the saints of the past, basically to remember everything, picking up from where Adam and Eve left off, and remembering all their acts, offering them, and with all this, the people in the Old Testament, all the prophets, the very acts of the Blessed Mothers, and the acts of the apostles, the saints, all the way till today. So I hope you can see that line and where we are in that plan of salvation that God has traced and has worked for our good to bring us back to that perfect unity in which we were created. So he's accomplishing that in our time. I think if we see the whole thing in that way, we will be able to understand also this gift and why it's so important for us to remain in union with that gift in us, asking the Lord, begging the Lord to bestow that gift upon us and to increase our desire for that gift. Every act becomes a peace, a messenger of peace. We ourselves, we become messengers of peace in this way. We are messengers of peace, not only little children of the divine will, but the children of the divine will is implied they are messengers of peace, right? Again, we find another important reference here that once we understand that we are the chambers of the divine will, that we were created for God. And again, we go back to 358 in the Catechism. We are the chamber of God. We are the throne of God. Our soul is the throne of God, is the place of God, the rightful place of God. And once we enthrone the divine will in our hearts, in our souls, asking the Holy Spirit to fill us with that grace and the Holy Spirit living, palpitating in us, then we really, the enemy will flee away. And if we learn to offer everything for the divine will and, just offering everything, and the more the enemy torments us, the faster the divine will descend. So then he will leave us alone because he doesn't want to be the agent through which the divine will descend. You see that? So now we learn how to reverse, how to spell the evil one from our hearts, our souls, from us, that he will not dare to be near us and to attack us, because anything that he uses to make to make us suffer, or to make us wander, or trying to make us wander away from God, if we have that firm intention that we will use everything, 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 even the torments that he will use against us, then he will have to flee, because again, he doesn't want to be the agent through which this gift will come about. So you see the power of this gift. So the more he tries to distract us, the more he tries to torment us, that will be a voice that will say, "Fiat, fiat, fiat! I offer even this suffering, even this torment that you are trying to inflict upon me. It will serve for the divine will to descend, and it will be your defeat." So there is no way it can be in us, you know. So that's why we have to look this gift in that way, that it is an instrument for us also to bring so much good upon earth, and to hasten the gift of divine will to come and reign on earth. How is the gift gonna reign on earth? Well, the more it reigns in us, the more it expands, then the kingdom is growing in already here. When new souls, they come to know this gift, and they hear about this gift, and they embrace it, then the kingdom of God is already growing and it's expanding. It's already here. We have to believe that. It's already here. The fulfillment of the Our Father is happening in our time, in us, every single moment. So it is here. And if we learn again how to use this gift to offer everything, even the evil one will run away from us. Let's go to the next letter that is also to Frederick. Right.
Letter number 114 to Federico Abresh. Fiat. Most esteemed son in the divine volition, thank you for all your attentions. Oh, how I'd love to give all my life to make everyone know the divine will. These are the sighs, the anxieties, the follies of love of dear Jesus, who wants to make the divine will known to all, so that it may be possessed. Because when we possess it, it works the most wonderful wonders and the greatest prodigies in our souls. Without it, we are as many crippled. With it, everything is beauty and sanctity, such as to enrapture God Himself. And then, to live of will of God means to love God with His own love. And since the divine will is everywhere, we love him for all and in all, even in the saints and in the Queen of Heaven, who feels glorified more by those who want to love God with his own heart. What the divine will does in one who lives in it is unspeakable, incomprehensible, and so amazing as to astonish heaven and earth. Even the angels remained speechless. There is nothing that could glorify God more, that could raise us more to his likeness, that could preserve more within us his divine sanctity, his beauty and freshness, the firmness in good, and the order of his wisdom than living in his will. Therefore, at any cost, even given our lives, let us give it the right to live in us, to dominate and to reign. Let us fulfill our duty, both with words and in writing. We will sow many divine seeds into souls, which will form the divine generation within their acts. Acts which will turn into suns to give light to all. I commend myself to your prayers and leaving you in the divine volition to form images of our Creator, and sending you my regards with the love of the fiat, I say, most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, August 20th, 1942. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. This is what we are called to do, to give all our life to make the divine will known, to give all our acts, to spend our life for the divine will to be known. Thus, we are blessed to be able to be part of this mission, because again, it's the fulfillment of the Our Fathers. It is the fulfillment of the prayer of our Lord Jesus, and it is the giving back of the gift that Adam and Eve lost, the recovery of that gift. And to be able to offer not in perfect disorder, in complete acts, but to give perfect acts, complete acts to God. And not only for ourselves, but again, to be able to go back and to call and to remember and to offer those acts of all the saints who were not able to give perfect acts, but they are waiting for us, children of the divine will, to remember their acts, to call them and to offer them, so they can receive the final touch, the final crown that they need to fulfill their purpose for which they were created. It is a very mundane example, but I'm gonna use it anyway. You know, the fact that we are created is good, but it's greater when we fulfill our purpose. So, as human beings, we were created for the purpose of possessing the divine will in us. As long as we remain empty, as long as we remain operating with our human will, we will not be able to fulfill our purpose. So it's good that we exist, but it will not be greater. We will not accomplish our final end, our purpose for which we were created. So let me use an example. A barrel is used or is used to store wine. And when that barrel is filled with wine, then we can say that bottle has fulfilled its purpose. You can have many, 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 many bottles of wine empty. It is good that they are there because they have been created for a certain purpose, to be filled with wine. But once they are filled with wine, now they have achieved their purpose. For their existence. We are not bottles of wine. We are souls that we are designed to have the divine life in us. We are designed to be the chamber of the divine will, the place of the Blessed Trinity. So as long as we keep operating with our human will, it is good that we exist, that God created us, but we are not fulfilling our purpose. Once we receive this gift and begin operating, and we are possessed by this gift, we come in the possession of this gift, then at that moment we can say we have fulfilled our purpose in life. And the more we grow in that, right, the more glory to God, and the more capacity we acquire. So that's why it is a blessing for us to be able to live in this time, because now there is no reason to operate only with the human will and to be crippled and blind and deaf and spiritually paralyzed. No anymore. Now we are able again to offer complete acts, order acts, perfect acts, because we now have the same purpose that the Blessed Mothers had. We can have the same purpose in our acts as our Lord Jesus had when he possessed that humanity. And this is what Luisa Picarreta is telling us basically here. That's why she says, at any cost, even giving your lives. Yes, even giving our lives. Let us give it, meaning to the divine will. Let us give the divine will the right to live in us, to dominate and to reign in us. Because again, once we have the divine will in us, we have everything. We lack nothing. Even the enemy should be afraid of those who possess the divine will in their hearts, in their soul, those who let the divine will reign in their souls. Even the enemy is afraid now. Why? Because he will not dare to come closer and torment them if we learned to use those things against him, to use those things to hasten the coming of the divine will, so he will just leave, go away, find other souls, unfortunately. So it is the greatest gift, in fact, that the Lord has given us. And today that we celebrate the feast of the Solemnity of the Blessed Trinity, let us ask our Lord Jesus to give us the grace to realize that our final end, our goal is to enter into the perfect unity of the Blessed Trinity, beginning here on earth. I wanted to share just a passage with you today. This comes from volume 23, 1927, volume 23, October 16, 1927. It's about the Blessed Mother. Why is so important? And this gives us a glimpse. This will give us a glimpse of why it's so important for us to possess this gift and the mission of the children of the divine will. We know that the Blessed Mother is the perfect reflection of the Blessed Trinity. She is the daughter of Zion. She is the perfect daughter of the Father. She is the mother of the incarnated Son of our Lord Jesus. Her fiat allowed the incarnation. Her fiat allowed the plan of God to continue, basically to rescue us. And the spouse of the Holy Spirit. This is what our Lord tells Luisa Picarreta. It's almost at the end of the paragraph, explaining the Blessed Mother. She formed her whole life in my will. And a mother loves and wants for her children to possess the same glory. And she in heaven cannot communicate all her glory and greatness and sovereignty, which she possesses because she does not find anyone who has lived her same continuous life in the divine will. Therefore, she longs for the children of its kingdom so as to have all her glory be reflected in them. The Blessed Trinity is able to reflect all that God is, to reflect itself in the Blessed Mother. This is what happened with us in baptism. We are newly baptized, even the angel is able to look in our eyes, our soul, and it sees the image of God in us, because we are in the perfect state of grace. So the Blessed Mother is the perfect reflection of the Blessed Trinity, and she continues to grow to be able to reflect more and more and more and more everything that God is. But what our Lord is saying is that the Blessed Mother doesn't find these children in heaven yet. Those who have lived this continuous life, so she's able to reflect herself in those. So she's waiting. She longs for the children of his kingdom so as to have all her glory be reflected in them. The Blessed Mother wants to be able to reflect herself, all her glory in her children. And be able to say, I have my children who equal me in my glory. Now I am happier because my glory is the same glory as my children. The happiness of a mother is more than of her children than her own. The happiness of the mother is more of her children than of her own. Meaning that she wants to give this happiness. She wants to find the containers, the souls, where she wants to be reflected. More so for the celestial mother who, in my will, more than mother, conceived all the redeemed ones and formed the very life of the children of my divine will. She longs for all of us, meaning that she pray for all of us are ready to be able to possess this gift. And what she wants us, or what the Lord wants us also, is to be able to possess this gift in a continuous way. The possession of the divine will breathing, palpitating in us at every single moment without any interruption, without any gap. That's what we are called here on earth, to arrive to that moment, to that level, to that state in which nothing can move us away from the divine will. As St. Paul will say, what can separate me from the love of God? Hunger, sickness, nakedness, so on and so on. So we can say now we can apply it to the divine will. What can separate me from the divine will? Nothing. Not even the attacks of the evil one. Why? Because from now on, everything I do, everything I go through is for the kingdom of the divine will to descend upon earth. And even if I face martyrdom, it will be for that. So it's beautiful, I think, if we think about the divine will in this way. So let us finish with this today. Yes, giving thanks to the Lord for giving us the grace to have these writings through a servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, and entrusting ourselves to the Blessed Mother and entrusting ourselves to the Holy Spirit, that He will continue to fill us with His grace and with His love. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And may the blessing of the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever. Amen.